We are victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are more than conquerors. There's a lot of truth in that song that we experience from day to day. We know that at the end of this life, we're going to experience victory. There's victory in Jesus, and we know that. We experience that from day to day, and there's always victory in Jesus. I think that's the point. There's no weapon that can be formed against us that can harm us because we are protected in Christ Jesus. I want to read some scripture from God's holy word this morning, taken from the epistle written to the church at Thessalonica. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn to that epistle in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 1. The Apostle Paul had a lot of anxiety, a lot of problems, a lot of physical issues. He was persecuted, left for dead, shipwrecked, etc. But he said one time, that's nothing compared to the weightiness of the things concerning the care of the church. There was a great weight on the Apostle Paul. He was concerned about those people that he had ministered to and those people that he had seen saved and organized into churches in all these different cities. And he felt like he was responsible for them. He cared for them. Much of the New Testament is a result of his concern and his care for these particular churches. That's why we have the epistles that were written to like the church at Rome and Ephesus, Thessalonica, Colossians, and etc. This particular chapter, the Apostle Paul was concerned about the church at Thessalonica and circumstances that might lead to them faltering in their faith. Circumstances in his own ministry, in his own life, that might affect that church. Sometimes circumstances in a church can affect its faith. And Paul was concerned about these circumstances in his life affecting the church at Thessalonica. So he did some shuffling around of some ministers. He had an entourage sometimes that went with him different places. And he had the young minister Timothy and the young minister Titus. And he had others that he would strategically send to these churches to find out how they were doing. And this particular chapter kind of deals with that. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, in other words, he said, I couldn't stand it any longer. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone and send Timotheus, our brother, the minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. He said, I couldn't stand any longer. I had to send somebody. So he sent Timothy to the church at Thessalonica, and he wanted to establish them. And also, he said, and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, he was concerned about their faith. Now, faith is vital. Faith is important. Faith is what establishes us. Faith is the first thing. We read like in Romans chapter 5, that therefore being justified by what? Faith. Justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherein we have access to this grace. We would not experience the grace of God, not get to enjoy the grace of God. He said, wherein we have access to grace, wherein we stand. You stand in grace. You have grace in your life because you're justified by faith. And we stand in this grace and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. He said, not only so, we glory in tribulation because tribulation worketh patience and patience experience and experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so we are established, we stand in grace, we get to a glory in tribulation, we have this amazing hope out there before us, all because of faith. Faith is first. Everybody say, faith is first. Faith is first. But faith is also something that can be measured. There are different degrees of faith. Actually, Timothy was sent there to do a faith check, to check the faith condition of the church at Thessalonica. And once he was there, if he found that their faith was low, he was to try to increase that faith. He was trying to help them grow in their faith. He was to encourage them and comfort them. Or basically what he was saying is increase their faith. Stir up their faith. And so Paul was mainly concerned with this church's level of faith. See, faith is not only the first thing that occurs, because we're saved by grace through what? Faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is the first thing, because once you get saved, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Yeah. I mean, not only are you saved by faith, but you walk by faith, and you have to live by faith. Faith is not only the first thing, but faith must be the focus of the Christian life. Even after you get saved, you need to increase in your faith. Bible says without faith, in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to what? You can't even please God if you don't have faith. Impossible to even please God in your Christian life unless you walk and live by faith. Faith is a main concern. We have to live the faith life, don't we? In order to please God. Now, if faith is the focus and faith is the concern, then faith must be under attack. Do you remember when I read this a few months ago, when I preached from the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, I believe it was, when I was talking about Peter, and I think I dealt with this maybe on youth night, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, you know, Jesus was talking to Simon and said, Simon, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired you to like sift you as wheat. In other words, Satan is striving to destroy you. How is he going to destroy the Apostle Peter? How was Satan going to destroy Simon? What was the point of attack? Notice in the next verse, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith, that your faith does not fail. In other words, the point of attack was the Apostle Peter's faith. Satan is striving to destroy our confidence and our faith in God. So faith was the point of attack. The danger was that his faith would what? Fail. His faith would fail. That was the danger that Jesus was concerned about when Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat. But thank God for the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ. He prayed that his faith would not fail, and his faith did not fail. Right? His faith did not fail. We find the Apostle Peter, the first one in the sepulcher after the resurrection. We find the Apostle Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. On the Apostle Peter's faith did not fail. It may have faltered, but it did not fail. Now, he was out there and he should have been doing what Jesus instructed him to do. He was out there warming himself. He was warming himself at that fire, trying to get warm. Warming himself with that fire when he should have been watching. Jesus said, watch that you enter not into temptation. But instead of watching, he was out there warming himself by that fire. And he was, well, we know the story, don't we? The little girl caused him to deny the Lord thrice. Faith is important. Paul was concerned about the condition of the church's faith. Faith is the point of attack by Satan. Faith has to be our focus if we live the Christian life. Faith must be first in our life. Faith not only is the focus, but there's a force. People, we can conquer by faith. If we lose our faith, if we wane in our faith, if we don't maintain a high faith level, then Satan will not only attack us, but he will destroy us. Somebody mentioned Brother Millenchamp. Sister Debbie did. I spoke to him, I guess it was yesterday. And he said, I've got confidence that, I've got reassurance from the Lord. You know, the point of attack in a believer's life many times is their faith. Satan tries to get us to doubt, to try to doubt God. Now, Paul was concerned about this church. There were some circumstances that would endanger their faith, get them to the place of doubt. Jesus told Peter again. It was at the, when was that? It was when he was had cursed the fig tree. He told Peter, he said, have faith in God. You hear that? I mean, Jesus would just stop and shake Peter from time to time and say, Peter, have faith in God. Now, we need to be shaken from time to time, and we need to hear from the Lord, and the Lord would say to us, have faith in God. So Timothy was sent. Go back to the book of Thessalonica. The book of Thessalonians. Timothy was sent to confirm their faith. To help them be conformed in their faith. Verse 3. Notice this. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. Now Paul was saying, I don't want you to be moved by my persecutions, by my afflictions. He says, these afflictions that I'm going through, they were meant for me to go through, and this. They were appointed for me. Remember when Paul was called? In the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, it was made clear to him that he was a chosen vessel to preach unto the Gentiles, and what else? To show forth what kind of suffering the Apostle Paul should go through for his namesake. That was his calling. He was a chosen vessel to suffer these things. And so he said, don't be moved by this. Don't be alarmed by this. This was appointed unto me. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and He said, I shared this. This was well known to you. This is my calling as an apostle. This is what I was supposed to go through. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Notice there in verse 5. He said again, he was bothered, he was concerned, he had anxiety, he was concerned about the condition of their faith. I had to know where you were in your faith. So Timothy was sent there to measure, to find out, to examine, and to report back to the Apostle Paul the faith condition of this church. I sent to know your faith. You see it there in verse 5? I had to know where you were in the faith. Lest by some means the tempter may tempt you. Where was the point of attack? The point of attack of the tempter of Satan was at their faith. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings. Good tidings of what? Good tidings of your faith. How you were trusting in the Lord. Good tidings of your faith and charity. And that ye have good remembrance of us always. Desiring greatly to see us. As we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction, distresses, by your, what is it? Faith. I was strengthened by your faith. In other words, Paul was saying that their faith was supporting him, strengthening him. sustaining him, encouraging him. Let me ask you this. Can we encourage others by having a strong faith? Isn't it contagious? I mean, when we're really trusting in the Lord, will it not influence others? Will it not have an impact on others? Paul said, I was going through all of this affliction, but because the church was a church strong in the faith, it helped me through the affliction. Now, I'm convinced that a church strong in the faith will help during time, help others that are going through times of affliction. People sometimes ask, you know, what can I do? How can I help? You know, what can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can be a church strong in faith. I mean, let's trust the Lord here. Amen? Yeah. Now listen, the devil will take these circumstances and try to get us to doubt him. Just like Paul was cautious, he was concerned, he was afraid, he was worried about the church. He was worried about what? Well, it's clear in this third chapter. He was concerned about their faith. But when he learned that they were strong in the faith, what did it do? It helped him physically. It helped him with the afflictions that he was going through. Now, I believe there's power in faith. Not only is faith first, not only should it be our focus as believers, but I'm convinced also that there's a force associated with faith that you cannot find anywhere else. You read that 11th chapter of Hebrews, and every one of those patriarchs of old, they had a secret. They had a secret weapon. They had a secret power. They had a source that was a secret to the world but revealed to us in Scripture. Each one of them were conquerors. Each one of them were overcomers. Each one of them were successors in their spiritual life, because each one of them had one thing, and that one thing that each one of them had was faith. From Abel all the way to the last one that's mentioned, that's anonymous in that 11th chapter, every one of them were victorious by faith. By faith, they overcame every single obstacle. From building the ark to walking into dens of lions, no matter what the conditions were, no matter what the dangers were, they were overcomers by faith. Now you can doubt it if you want to, and there may be some unbelievers here that are doubting it, but faith will win the day. Faith will win the day. Faith is the foundation of our grace. It is the shield. Remember the 6th chapter of Ephesians? What is it that covers all the other pieces of armor that we wear? Now, we're to take on the whole armor of God, and you need to have the helmet of salvation. You need the breastplate of righteousness. You need your loins girded about with truth. You need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need all of those things. You need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But then he says, above all. Everybody say, above all. Above all, take the shield of faith. Listen, the shield of faith protects the helmet of salvation. It protects the breastplate of righteousness. It protects the truth. It protects the gospel. It protects us. It protects us completely and wholly above all of those virtues. See, I believe it's the principal virtue. I think it's the main thing that we must have in order to please the Lord, in order to be protected, in order to be shielded. We must above all take the shield of faith. Do you remember how many times the Lord Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "Oh, ye of little faith"? How many times he was disappointed in them? You're doubting me? You know, he said, you're doubting me? You're doubting God? Oh, ye of little faith. Or the time he would take them and he would shake these followers of his. You know, and he'd say, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Believe. Be not thou doubtful. I'll give you King James. Be not thou doubtful, but believe. Believe. There are times in our Christian walk where the Lord shows up when we are collectively assembled together and He gives us a good shaking, and He does His followers the same today as He did then, and He says, don't be doubtful, just believe. That secret strength that we find those guys had and the women had in the 11th chapter of Hebrews is still a secret strength today. The devil hates our faith. Y'all realize that, don't you? He hates us having faith. But the Lord loves it. He's always honored it. He's always blessed it. He told us if we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we can move mountains. This church's faith was in danger of failing because of the afflictions of the Apostle Paul. Jesus prayed for Peter and said, I'm praying for you that your faith faileth not. Where's Jesus right now? Huh? Yeah, he resurrected on the third day. He met with his disciples for 40 days. He went out there to Bethany. He raised his hands. He blessed his little church. And then he ascended to glory. He went in and the angel said, lift up ye gates, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. The King of glory went into right there beside the right hand of the Father. He sat down and he's there making intercessions for us today. And he's on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying that our faith faileth not. As he prayed for the Apostle Peter, he still intercedes for us today. Now Peter's, you know, Peter's faith in some measure weakened, but he didn't lose it altogether. Amen. Now, we're human, okay? Let's face it. Let's not act like we're faith superheroes. All right, we're human. Peter's faith in some measure weakened or lessened, but it did not fail. That's important, isn't it? That's very important. Faith is the divinely appointed way that we receive the blessings of grace. I mean, we need grace in our life, right? I read that to you, or quoted to you from the 5th chapter of Romans. It starts with faith, and then we get grace, and then we go through tribulation, but there's a hope inside of us. Oh, there's a hope inside of us. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. A hope from the Holy Ghost. Do you know what I'm talking about, people? Do you have a hope from the Holy Ghost? There's a force there. I was going to read some more of this, but I need to turn over the 6th chapter and read a text, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I wouldn't plan on preaching long. Listen, people, faith is essential. It's vital to the Christian life. Anything which weakens our faith, it also weakens our spiritual strength. Listen to me. When your faith begins to weaken, it also weakens you spiritually. Whether that be on a personal level or whether that be on a church level. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, I read this last week when I was talking about the immutability of God, where God doesn't change and how that His Word doesn't change. You know, I went back over this last week and got to thinking about it, and I wish I'd have been there. I mean, it must have just blown those angels away. I can just see, you know, even the ones that are flying around the throne of God, when God raised up his hand and made an oath. Like, what in the world is he doing? I mean, he's already said it. That's enough. You know, but he did more than just make a promise to Abraham. He swore an oath. He raised his hand. He swore an oath that he was going to keep this covenant. Praise God. Anyway, that was in my sanctified imagination. It didn't bless y'all as much as it blessed me. I wish I'd have been there. Verse 18, where it talks about that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Everybody say strong consolation. God wants us to have a strong consolation. I mean, he does stuff he doesn't even have to do that we might have a strong consolation. He does stuff to come down on our level. I mean, he said that earlier. He did the swearing with an oath thing because that's what men do. That's what humans do. A God of heaven doesn't have to do that, but he came down on our level that we might have a strong consolation. Who has a strong consolation? Look with me there in that verse. Those who have fled for refuge. Have you fled unto the Lord for refuge? Do you know about that? Yeah, what he's talking about here is the effects of the gospel. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, where people get under conviction because of their sins, where they get in trouble and in turmoil over their iniquities and their transgressions, and they hear about Jesus being lifted up on the cross. He is our refuge, amen? He is our rock. He is our high tower. He is our safety and our shield. And they run to Jesus Christ for refuge. They lay hold of him for eternal life. Let me ask you, whom have you laid hold upon for eternal life? Is it not Jesus? There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. All right, watch this. He said, we fled for refuge. He's talking about people getting saved. There's a hope that comes in you when you get saved. Let me say this. If the Holy Spirit didn't come in you when you got saved, you're none of his. Paul said, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you are none of his. He said, we have a strong consolation. Those of us that are saved, I'm like the rest of you. I don't know how people go through this life without the Lord. I really don't. When I sought the Lord for the shelter of my sins, he sheltered me. When I needed a covering for my sins, he covered me. When I need cleansing for my sins, he cleansed me. When I needed lifting out of the pit of the miry clay of sins, he lifted me. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my goings in this life, and he is with me. Praise God, the Lord is with us. Let me see. I need. All right, we laid hold of this hope that was set before us. If you're here today and you're without God, you're without hope in this world. If you've not been saved by grace, if there's not been a point, a beginning in your life where you exercise faith, where you lay hold of Jesus Christ, he is your only hope. He is your only hope of salvation. We laid hold of him and something happened to us. I mean, something happened when we laid hold of the Lord and we got saved. He said it was a hope which we have as an anchor of the soul. I like that, this metaphor. Don't you like that metaphor? The anchor of the soul. Listen, there's a lot of restlessness on the sea of life, isn't there? I thought about this past week. You know, I've been serving the Lord a long time. I really have. I've had a lot of wonderful experiences with the Lord. Thankful for those experiences. I've been studying His Word for years. I started when I was 18 years old. I mean, just my whole life is studying God's holy Word. And I thought of all these great men that had also greater experiences than I had. They had experiences, they understood God. Many of them had great wisdom. I thought about Elijah. I mean, he had great experiences with the Lord. I mean, lightning came down out of heaven and lit the sacrifice. I mean, he had miracle after miracle. And yet, though he had all of these great, wonderful past experiences with the Lord, he still found himself up in a cave doubting God. I thought about Solomon, the great wise man Solomon. And yet, you know, toward the end of his life, he came to the conclusion, all that wisdom was nothing if you didn't have faith. Let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Trust the Lord. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And I thought about sailing life's seas and all the different calamities and how quickly a tempest can come up and how quickly conditions can change and you can have all these wonderful experiences and have your sails unfurled and just sailing away, you know, and have your boat spotless with great wisdom. And though you've got the experiences of Elijah, though you have the wisdom of Solomon, listen, there's only one thing that anchors our soul beyond the veil, and that's faith. I mean, there's times in our life, I thought about the anchor. Why an anchor? Why the metaphor, an anchor? I mean, can you imagine a downpour, you know, out on a boat or you know, a hurricane or being out on treacherous seas? I can't even imagine that. I've got a little fishing boat and it's a little aluminum boat. And I mean, if there's just a little bit of roughness, I mean, it just throws you all over the water. I can't imagine being out and there being a great tempest or a deluge of some kind. But I know one thing you would need to prevent you from losing progress, and that's an anchor. I mean, the storm comes up, you don't keep your sails of experience out to weather the storm. You don't keep the cleanliness of the bow based upon your wisdom. I'll tell you what you need. Yeah, and when the tempest comes up and the wind starts to blow you, you better drop that anchor, boy. And you just pull that anchor and you hold on for dear life. Amen. You just hold on. Yeah, hold on. Are you with me? Yeah, hold on to the Lord. That anchor beyond the veil, which is Jesus. There's times in our life where you just simply need to hold on to the Lord. Let's get a song and sing. That was somewhat of what I had prepared. Somewhat of not what I didn't prepare. Irrelevant. You know, even if you didn't get in a hurricane or you didn't get in a great tempest, I mean, just to be tossed around by the wind. Listen, if you get seasick, in your Christian walk, you pull on that anchor. Anchor down that boat a little stronger. Amen? You may have to go through some seasickness, but the anchor will hold, won't it? Why? Because He tells us we have an anchor beyond the veil. That anchor is Jesus, who is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. With an eternal priesthood. Yeah. Who's there for us? He's there for you. There's your anchor. The Lord's there for you. Interceding for you. Stay strong in the faith. Your anchor will hold. Let's stand and sing. God bless you. There's a force. There's a force in faith. There's a security. There's a Here's my last point, and I didn't get to it. There's a firmness in our faith. Amen? A firmness. There's a strength in our faith that keeps us solid, that keeps us sound, that keeps us safe. And that faith is in Jesus. Let's sing. God bless you. I want us to, while we sing this song, I'm not having an invitation. I want us to have a handshake. We're going to do something different. And let's strengthen one another's faith. What do you say? Huh? You know, let's encourage one another to be faithful to the Lord. Let's be courageous in the faith. If you're going through a storm, you know, if you don't have your anchor down, you better drop that thing. Amen. Now, I've known Christians, I kid you not, they're out there and they're being tossed to and fro. They're tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. They're being tossed to and fro with all kinds of stuff going on in their lives, circumstances, situations. And I'm like, drop the anchor. Right? Yeah. Drop your anchor. Yeah. Unfurl the sails and drop the anchor. Just hunker down there and drop your anchor where you're at. And hold on. Weather the storm. Your faith will not fail.